পরমহংস পরিব্রাজকাচার্য অষ্টোত্তর শত শ্রী শ্রীমদ অভয় চরণারবিন্দ ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ কি জয়। অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণব বৃন্দ কি জয়। নামাচার্য শিল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয়। প্রেম সে কহ শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাসাদি গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গো গোপীনাথ শ্যামকুণ্ড রাধা কুণ্ড গিরি গোবর্ধন কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী রাধা মদন মোহন কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী গৌরনিতাই কি জয়। সমবেত ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়। গৌর প্রেমানন্দে হরি হরি বল। অল গ্লোরিজ টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিজ, অল গ্লোরিজ টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিজ, অল গ্লোরিজ টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিজ, অল গ্লোরিজ টু শ্রী গুরু অ্যান্ড শ্রী গৌরাঙ্গ, অল গ্লোরিজ টু শিল প্রভুপাদ। নমো বিষ্ণুপদায় কৃষ্ণপৃষ্ঠায় ভূতলে শ্রীমতে ভক্তিবেদান্ত স্বামী নীতি নামিনে নমস্তে সরস্বতী দেবে গৌরবাণী প্রচারিণে নির্বিশেষ শূন্যবাদী পাশ্চাত্যাদিশতারিণে। হরে কৃষ্ণ। সো টুডে ইজ দ্য লাস্ট ডে অফ আ সেমিনার। Actually, originally I thought that on the last day I will divide you all into a few groups, maybe 4 or 5 groups, and then ask you to discuss among yourselves about this topic. Understanding Sri Ram, understanding Sri Krishna through Ramayana. And then one person from each group would make a presentation. Have a sort of a workshop like that. But I couldn't cover, the subject was so vast that I'm still haven't covered the last chapter. So if I can cover the last chapter quickly enough, then should we do something like that? How many of you would like to have a discussion among yourselves and make a presentation? Okay, 2, 3, 4. Up or down? Okay. Thank you.
Huh? Sri Kriti said lunch will be around 2 o'clock, so we have extra time.
Okay. Okay. So Nilamani Prabhu said that we have time because lunch will be late today. Oh, I see. Okay, let us see how long it takes to cover this last chapter, Uttarkanda. How many chapters Ramayana has? 7. So how did you do that? First chapter, Balkanda. Then second day, we did Ayodhya Kanda and Aranya Kanda. Then the third day we did Kishkinda and Sundar Kanda, and yesterday we did Yuddha Kanda. And are you all happy that Ravan is dead? That is the main thing about Ramayana, that the conflict. Why does the Supreme Personality of Godhead come? Why does he incarnate to this material nature? Paritranaya sadhunan vinashaya cha duskritam. So, actually one of the reasons why Ramchandra went to the forest was to give the association, his association to the sadhus, the saintly people. The saintly personalities, the sages, and Brahmanas, they all were in the forest. And so in order to associate with them, Ramchandra, one of the reasons why he went to forest. Of course, there is a whole lot of intrigue behind that. And also the Rakshasas, the demons, they were causing a lot of difficulties to the sages, who is to generally live in the forest. And Ramchandra killed them. And finally he freed this planet from the Rakshasas. So Ramayana is... How did you like the story? I mean, I'm sure most of them knew Ramayana. How many of you didn't know Ramayana before? So all of you knew about Ramayana. Was it... Did it help this discussion? And how did it help? You understood more. Okay. Rupanuga is saying there was more details. Anything else? Mother Krishna Priya? I was thinking that when you are in Ujjain, there also, at that time actually, I also gave this seminar. So you heard it twice. Was it boring? I see. And
to the audience,
oh, I see. Okay. In Ujjain, we had more time. You mean that description was more elaborate, or okay? No, I think it's the same. No, there I think we had 7 days. Here we had 5 days. Yeah, there we had more time to... Yeah. Huh? Thank you. Any other comment from anybody?
What are you in a Catholicism where we hear again and again, every time it feels like new. Something like we read Valmiki Ramayana here so many times, and every time you feel, gosh, I never read that part.
Oh.
It's such an interesting in Catholicism.
Well, because it's juicy. Jadunath.
Often for me, I hear, you know, a story from the Ramayana over here and a story from the Ramayana over there. This time I heard the whole Ramayana, so the continuity was helpful.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Yes?
I've heard some people...
Yeah, it's working.
Some people feel more comfortable with Ram's pastimes, and they find that there's a difference between Ram's incarnation and Krishna, and this made it a little more clear how it's the same Supreme Personality but acting in a different role, and how he is the same person but just changing the circumstances. So that made it more understandable how if you love this personality, then you naturally will love this personality as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Incidentally, Kapila is a very good actor also. He's not only a prasad distributor and a book distributor, he's a very good actor also. Maybe I should have told Jadunath about that. Jadunath is making a presentation tonight with Chandrasekhar and Steve, I heard. And Kapila plays the role of Hanuman very nicely. You should have. Do you remember the dialogues, Kapila? Maybe you can make some presentation tonight. Yes, Jai Chaitanya.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is actually the first time I realized the scope and perspective of how many years Ram was on the earth and how long he ruled compared to how short this whole Ramayana takes place in such a short portion of his life. And I never really thought about the scope and perspective of that before. I think that was my biggest really grasp in this time. And also I didn't know Valmiki's Ramayana didn't have the Lakshman drawing the circle. I was so familiar with that past time. I didn't know that was not part of it.
Yes.
You mentioned that you will be talking about Sabri's meeting Ram.
Yes, somebody brought it up and we did briefly discuss. Actually, there are many things that I didn't mention. And we didn't... we also didn't discuss about Ahalya. That's another. As I mentioned, like this idea, the purpose of these retreats or these seminars is to generate the interest in you to read the scriptures. Ultimately, it's you who have to derive the juice. Yes.
It was helpful for me when you explained that it's a drama and that we just need to watch without questioning it. And when I just listened without, you know, just visualizing it and not trying to logically understand it, it was really relishable. So that was nice.
Thank you. Yes, Shamwini.
Like was mentioned before, so many things, like many of us were just brought up hearing, which was not true, and how you emphasize that we should stick to the books that are recommended by our Sampradaya Acharya. I thought that was a very strong point, especially when Ramayana is so commonly, like in India, everyone hears and says. So it's very important even for us to safeguard ourselves against that. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Steve.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
One of the things that draws me to you is your kindness and your just gentle, peaceful way. And you can describe Ravan, you know, eating monkeys and blood dripping down the mouth. And yet you make it sound so sweet and peaceful. So that's very helpful to me. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Pallavi.
Maharaj, after I heard the pastimes that you've shared with us this morning, the kids were enacting the Ramayana drama, like rehearsing it, and there were a few things I was changing, and Vidura came up and asked, Ma, but this is how it worked. I said, no, Maharaj said that is not what it is. So what I've been telling him all these years, I had to say, no, that's what I said is wrong, but this is what it is. So there were a few things. And
for example?
One was the Lakshman Rekha itself, because the kids were doing that. And I said, no, you shouldn't. Vidura was Lakshman. So he was drawing Rekha on Sita. I said, don't do it. I said, why not? And I said, no, Maharaj said Lakshman does not do that, so you shouldn't be doing it. And then the other one was he was confused about why is about Indrajit shooting Lakshman, and Lakshman falls down onto the lap of Ram, and then that was something I didn't know, that Ravan shoots Lakshman and then Hanuman goes and brings it. So they were those were the two instances.
Actually, Indrajit also did that. You see, Indrajit, when he first came to the battlefield, he actually injured both Ram and Lakshman with arrows empowered by Brahma. And those arrows were the snakes that became the arrows and bound them. That was one when Garuda came and rescued. Another time, Indrajit did encounter Lakshman also. But according to Valmiki Ramayan, this the Shakti was hurled by Ravan. And then Shushen suggests that Hanuman brings the herbs from the mountain, and he carries the mountain. Valmiki Ramayana actually describes Hanuman carrying the mountain twice. One time, both Ram and Lakshman were wounded. Anyway, these are certain descriptions that may differ. And So Tulsi Ramayana says that Indrajit wounded Lakshman. Yeah, these are the things, I don't know why they say, for example, if he's a devotee of Ram, then why is he not accepting the authority of Valmiki? Because Valmiki is the authority. Ramayana came to exist because of Valmiki. Of course, there are other descriptions that in Purans, they're like fillers. Valmiki's Ramayana is the main content, main substance. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, I've heard before that some of these pastimes that happen, they happen in different universes, and therefore some of them are varied slightly because they happen in different universes and we get different information based on that. Is that true?
That is okay. That is in our... But those descriptions are generally the descriptions of Puranas. Not somebody comes and gives a description and says that the authority had to be there. If Puran there is some contradiction, then we accept that contradiction as kalpa bhed. That's called difference of kalpa. But Tulsidas is not such an authority. So his business should have been to stick to the description. Of course, Ramayana also has various other aspects from Puranas, like which I was mentioning yesterday about Kaikeyi appearing as Devaki. That has been described in the Puranas. Lakshman appearing as Balaram, that reason has been described in the Purana. Why Ram felt so indebted that he wanted Lakshman not to suffer as a younger brother anymore. Okay, in my next pastime, you become the elder brother and I will be the younger brother. So these kind of things are there. Then there are some other descriptions also, like Ravan goes to Boli Maharaj. And Boli Maharaj advises Ravan not to fight with Ram, telling him that, look, he killed Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, and he gave a whole lot of advice. Then there are story of Mahiravan, Ahiravan, and things like that. They're there. But they're, as I said, they're like fillers. And the bottom line is that from our acharyas, Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we have this this thing, this comment or this understanding that Tulsidas' Ramayana is not really bona fide in that sense. But that has become most popular, especially in northern India. In Bengal, there is a Ramayana by Krithivas Ojha. There's another Ramayana, which is very popular among the Bengalis. But that also has a lot of like things that has been introduced there. Like Ram worshipping Durga. And now in Valmiki Ramayana that is not there. Yes, Ramchandra worship Lord Shiva, that is understandable. Rameshwaram. But that is more like, I mean, our understanding is that it is not that Ram worshipped Lord Shiva, therefore Shiva became greater than Ram. Ramchandra worships his devotees. Ramchandra, that's the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He establishes the supremacy or the appropriate position of the devotees. But that doesn't mean that the devotee becomes greater than the Lord. The Lord worships devotees. Sudama went to Krishna. Krishna washed his feet. Now, does it mean that Sudama became greater than Krishna? Or will Sudama ever think that he is greater than Krishna? So these understandings have been clarified by the acharyas. And in the same Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, there is a description in Uttarakhanda, Lord Shiva came to fight on behalf of his devotee when the challenge horse for Ashwamedh Yagya was sent out. And the thing is that why Lord Shiva fought with his on behalf of his devotee? Because he wanted to have the darshan of Lord Ram. And this is how sometimes the devotee fights with the Lord's army. So that, like in Krishna's pastimes also, there are incidences like that. Like Subarna Shen, you know, those of you who have been to Mayapur Parikrama, do you remember Subarna Bihar? A place called Subarna Bihar. Subarna Sen was a king. And when Yudhishthira Maharaj's challenge horse was sent for Ashwamedh Yagya, Subarna Sen actually captured the horse, challenged Bhima. And he defeated Bhima. And the purpose of his doing that was to make Krishna come. Because he knew that if Bhima is in distress, then Krishna will come to rescue him. So that's how he'll get to see Krishna. Also, in Krishna's pastimes, we have seen like how Lord Shiva came to assist his devotee, Banasura. When Banasura was fighting with Krishna, he came to side with Banasura and fight against Krishna, and he was defeated. So Krishna defeated Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva came to his senses and begged forgiveness, saying that, why do I forget about your position? Like, I have this Ishvara Bhava, that I think I am the greatest. And as a result of that, I even fail to recognize you and fight with you. Any other comment? Yes, Santosh.
Maharaj, for Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, we have Srila Prabhupada purports which we refer. But for Ramayana, which is the, like, a, which purport can we refer?
Actually, Bhagavad Gita has a purport because of his explanation. Srimad Bhagavatam also has a purport. But I don't think anybody gave any commentary on Ramayana in that way, you know. Like, our acharyas have given commentary on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But I don't think there is any commentary as such by any of our acharyas.
No, if you have to read Valmiki Ramayana, then is there any book which ISKCON recommends?
Valmiki Ramayana's there are actually in ISKCON there are three translations of Ramayana that I know of. One was translated by Krishna Dharma Prabhu. Another one is translated by Purna Pragya Prabhu. And later on I found out that Purna Pragya Prabhu's Ramayana had been actually printed in the name of Bhakti Vikash Maharaj. But that was actually, the translation was Purna Pragya Prabhu's. So generally I like the one that is by Purna Pragya Prabhu. And that is the one that I had been following. It is... Both, I mean, Purna Pragya Prabhu is our god brother. He's very scholarly. He translated Mahabharata also. And so same is with Krishna Dharma Prabhu. And prior to that, when there was no translation, the one that I used to like was Kamala Subramaniam's Ramayana. That is also, she also translated Valmiki Ramayana. Her writing was very nice. Translation is quite good. But in ISKCON we have these two translations, Krishna Dharma Prabhu's and Purna Pragya Prabhu's. Yes.
My question had to do, we were speaking about how Ram banished the Rakshasa race, and then we see again, in Krishna Lila, the Rakshasas are turning up again. So my question is two-part. One part of my question is, like, when Vivishvan was put in charge of Lanka, when you have, like, a devotee ruling Rakshasas, or even, like, with Bali, like, how does that affect the Rakshasa community?
Yeah. Actually, in English, again, they are just all have been lumped in as one. Uh-huh. But there are things like asuras, mm-hmm. daitas, danavas, and rakshasas.
Yeah.
They're generally of these four categories.
Okay.
Donu's sons mm-hmm. are danavas. Diti's sons are daitas.
Okay.
Like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranakshas are daitas. And Rakshasa race actually came from Pulastha. Pulastha's son is Vishrava. And from Vishrava came Ravan, etc. And actually, even prior to that, it was, I think, from Pulaha, there were two sons, Hetu and Proheti. Heti and Proheti. From them, the Rakshasa line actually started. So from them, their grandson was Mallavan. Mallavan's daughter was Kaikeshi. Kaikeshi actually conceived three sons, and they became Rakshasas because that mother's line was Rakshasas. Right? So the point actually is, yes, I mean, they're wiped out, but in Krishna's pastime, I mean, they wiped out, but still they were there. Like Vibhishan was there, and the other Rakshasas were there. But under Bibhishan's rule, they became quite civil.
Okay.
Whereas under Ravan's, there were very, very heinous. And so Kumbhakarna's Kumbhakarna and the Rakshasas are still there, but in Krishna's pastimes, we don't come across so many Rakshasas as such. What we come across are the Asuras, that is Kamsa and his associates. Many of them are actually born in the Kshatriya families. But because they did not accept Krishna, or because they were not following the injunctions of Dharma, they were branded as Asura. For example, Ravan was born in the same family as Devaki, as Vasudev. Devaki rather. I'm sorry, Sursen. Came as Surasena's son, in the same dynasty. Of course, the son of an asura. So this is how, in Krishna's pastimes, we don't see rakshasas as such. We find asuras, kamsa asura. Aghasura, Bakasura.
So what is Putana's category?
Putana? Putana is considered to be Rakshashi. Yeah. But Putana's lineage, anyway, maybe one or two were there like that. Or maybe the female Asura in that sense was described as Rakshashi. Putana, like Trinavarta Sura, Aghasura, Bakasura, Arishta Sura, Keshi, Danav. Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, when we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, that time we say Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, what Ram? Is this the Ram or it's Radhika Raman Krishna?
Very good. It will depend upon the sambandha gyan. With what understanding one is actually approaching. Like, or in simple words, we can say whose devotee he is. Right? If he's a Ramchandra's devotee, it will be Ram. If he's a Balaram's devotee, from this Ram, he will understand Balaram. But if he's a Krishna devotee, then he will see Krishna through as this Ram. You get the point? See, the name Ram, the same name, those who are devotees of Lord Ramchandra, they will think that this Ram, Hare Rama, is Lord Ramchandra. Those who are Balaram's devotee, they will think that this Ram is Balaram. And those who are Krishna devotee, they will think or they will see this Ram as Sri Krishna himself. Like as you say, Radha Raman Ram. So it is according to one's sambandha gyan. Sambandha gyan means the relationship that he has with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Accordingly, he will see that. Yes?
I used to do Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And then it got, when I came to ISKCON, I learned the other way. So, what is the change over what is the difference?
Yeah. So my first question will be, in your childhood, when you were chanting Hare Ram, Hare Ram, which guru gave you this mantra?
No guru, Maharaj, just the yes. Family bhajans. Sit down right. With the family and do the bhajan.
Yeah. So that is the point. You see, we take the mantra the way the guru gives. The way to get the mantra is through the guru. And then the next point is that in the scripture, the mantra actually has been mentioned as Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hare Ram first, before Hare Krishna. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented it, he gave Hare Krishna first. And there is a saying that generally the understanding that the mantra is a Vedic mantras only the Brahmanas have access to. Vedic mantras. But since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving it to anyone and everyone, therefore he reversed the mantra to keep the honor of the scriptures. Like he was not, the understanding of the scriptural mantra should be chanted only by Brahmanas. But when he was giving it to everybody, he just reversed the mantra. And we have to understand that in Kali Yuga, this is how the mantra is. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave it in this age, so this is how it should be chanted. And ultimately when you chant, whether Hare Krishna first or Hare Ram first, doesn't matter. It's just going. In the cycle, when you keep going, do you know where is the beginning? Yes, Aditya.
Guru Maharaj, this is in continuation to Mataji's question. Just Mataji, what else? So when we consider Ram as Lord Ramchandra, then the Hare associated with that would be Sita.
Then that is Hari. Then that Hare is Hari. Not Sita.
But when you say Hare Krishna, Hare refers to Radharani and Krishna is Lord Krishna.
Yeah, that is then one way of seeing it. Another way you see Hare is the vocative of Hara, which means Radharani, as well as Hari. When you call out, sambodhan, vocative, in vocative, Hari also is addressed as Hare, and Hara also is addressed as Hare. So in that case, when the sambandha is Ram, then this Hare will indicate Hari, not Hara. Huh?
Lord Krishna.
Not Radharani.
Yeah, Lord Krishna is with me.
Hari, yeah, Vishnu, Narayan.
And for Balaram also, it will be the same.
It will be same, Hari. Okay. So there, Hari, Balaram, Ram, and so forth. Only in case of Krishna, it is Hara, Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna. So we... Just going to Uttarakhand briefly. So Ramchandra has killed Ravan, rescued Sita. Then he came back to Ayodhya. Yesterday we discussed all that. Then Bharat handed over the kingdom to Lord Ramchandra. For these 14 years, when Ramchandra was away, Bharat was ruling the kingdom as Ramchandra's representative, putting Ramchandra's wooden sandals on the throne. And although, and Bharat did not stay in Ayodhya, the capital, but he shifted, he went to Nandigram, and there he was, from there he was ruling the kingdom. And it has been described that Bharat at that time also matted, probably you remember when Bharat went to Guha's place. So then Bharat, when he heard that Lord Ramchandra matted his hair, Bharat also matted his hair. Those days the Kshatriyas used to keep long hair. Like the way we see the Sikhs keep long hair. They're Kshatriyas, therefore they keep long hair. Guru Gobind Singh actually introduced that custom, which was actually the traditional thing. Like Kshatriya used to keep long hair. Because long hair they used to tie on top of their head, and that used to act as a helmet. And they also used to wear turban. See how scientific they are. All the customs are so scientific. So they had long hair, and the way to mat the hair is, they used to put the sap of banyan tree. Banyan tree gives out a sap, a milky sap. So they would, and which is like a glue. And so that used to mat the hair. So Bharat matted his hair, and he used to sleep on the floor. He used to live in a cottage, sleep on a floor, not on a bed. Just he would spread some kusha grass, and he would lie on that. For these 14 years, he just ate fruits and roots, no cooked food. So this is how austere Bharat actually was. And this shows, like, actually, in Ramayana, I mean, these characters are so illustrious. Bharat's character is so outstanding. Lakshman also. Like, I did not mention that when Ram met Sugriv and the monkeys, they actually showed, they saw, they recalled that they saw one Rakshasa was carrying one woman away from the sky, through the sky. So when Sugriva, and then she dropped her ornaments, tied up with her upper garment. And when they showed that to Ram, Ram recognized that they were Sita's. And then Ram asked Lakshman whether he also recognizes them to be Sita's, belonging to Sita. Lakshman couldn't recognize anything because Lakshman never looked up beyond her feet. Only when he used to come every morning, offer obeisances to Sita, he used to see her feet. Although for 14 years he was there with her, he never looked at her face. Never. So he didn't know which ornaments Sita was wearing. And it is, this is again not from Valmiki Ramayana, but this is from one of the Puranas, that in Uttarakhanda it has been described that when Agastya was describing, he described that the biggest impediment to winning the battle was actually Indrajit. And only Lakshman could kill Indrajit. Of course, Ramkan could kill anybody. But the way the situation was, the only Lakshman could, because Indrajit had a condition. When he asked the benediction from Brahma, that he asked, one of the conditions that he had, that only a person who had been a brahmachari for 14 years and didn't eat anything for 14 years could kill him. And it was Lakshman. So it was considered why Lakshman is considered to be a brahmachari, because the brahmachari never looks at a woman, according to the strict standard. But Sita was there, so how can it be considered that Lakshman was a brahmachari? And then it has been replied that although Sita was there, but Lakshman never looked at her. So Lakshman was a perfect brahmachari. And then Ram told that every day I used to give him some fruit, give him a fruit. And then Lakshman said, yes, you gave me the fruit, saying that, Lakshman, take it. So I took it, but I never ate it. So these are the illustrious personalities whom only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His expansions can act like that. And such loyalty, such dedication. Where did you get this yellow dhoti, Shyama? Where did you get the brahmachari dhoti? Oh, okay. So, anyway, so these are some amazing acts in the pastimes of the Lord's associates. And then Hanuman also, we can see what an illustrious character. And the question now arises, are they real? Now it's left up to us whether we're going to accept it or not. And those who are devotees, those who are properly situated on the scriptural conviction on the scriptures, they will accept them as the truth and nothing but the truth. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was then coronated on the throne. Lord Ram, Bharat handed the kingdom over to him, and Ram was coronated on the throne. And then one day, Ram was informed by Lakshman that the seven sages, Saptarshis, and Dhamma, Kanva, Kaushik, and other such great sages also came, Agastya. So they came, so Ramchandra immediately went and received them, and with great respect he invited them to the palace. So, when they all sat down, they started to glorify Lord Ramchandra. They thanked him for ridding the planet of the miscreants, Rakshasas, and especially Ravan, because Ravan had been tormenting the saintly people for a long time. And even the demigods couldn't deal with him. So Ramchandra came to annihilate, and they recognized that Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they started to glorify him in that way. And then this question actually came up when Agastya Muni mentioned about Indrajit, and it was practically impossible to defeat Indrajit. Indrajit defeated Indrajit defeated Indra. Ravan defeated all the demigods. So who could actually deal with them? Ravan also did not defeat Lord Shiva, but he challenged Lord Shiva. Although he was smashed after that challenge, but then he became a pet of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is Ashutosh, one who becomes pleased very quickly. And the demons often take advantage of that. As a matter of fact, most of the demons are Shiva's devotees. Not that all the devotees of Shiva are demons, but the demons mostly are devotees of Lord Shiva. That is because they can get their benedictions very quickly from Lord Shiva. And Ravan praised Lord Shiva when he was smashed. Actually, maybe I will come to that in course of time. In course of description, I'll describe that. So Ramchandra asked, why are you saying that? So then he gave the history of the Rakshasas, Agastya. And he described how Ravan was born, which I briefly mentioned yesterday, like the original Rakshasas were Heti and Proheti, and their grandson, three grandsons, became very, very powerful, Mallavan, Sumali, and Mali. And for the Rakshasas, Vishwakarma actually built Lanka. And so they started to torment the saintly people in such a way that Vishnu came, and in a battle he defeated them, and out of fear of Vishnu they ran away from Lanka. And they went to the netherworld, Rasatal. They were residing in Rasatal, and in the meantime the sage Pulastha had a son called Bishrava. And Bishrava got married to Bharadvaja's daughter, and a son was born. His name was Vaishravan. Bishrava's son is Vaishravan, who assumed the position of Lord Kuvera. Kuvera is the treasurer of the demigods. And he also was a Lokapal. Brahma was very pleased with him. And Brahma awarded him one of the most exalted positions among the demigods. And Kuvera received Pushpak chariot from Brahma. And when he asked his father where he should reside, Bishrava Muni told him that Lanka is now vacant, so he could occupy Lanka. So he was in Lanka. This Lanka was built by Vishwakarma with pure gold. And so Mallavan had a daughter, Kaikasi, and he was looking for a suitable husband for Kaikasi. And when he came out of the lower region, and he came to the upper part of the universe, then he saw Vishravan flying in a chariot, and he was quite impressed with that. And upon inquiring, he found out that this Vishravan is the son of Vishrava. So he thought that Vishrava is a suitable husband for his daughter. And he also felt that only his son can bring him such prosperity to the Rakshasa dynasty. So thinking that, he sent his daughter to Vishrava. And Kaikasi approached him, and Vishrava, seeing her, could understand why she came, and he told, "I know why you came, so I'll fulfill your desire. But because you came at an inauspicious time, your children will be Rakshasas. Your children will cause a lot of distress to the people, to the living entities." So she was unhappy with the idea that she said, "Please, don't make my sons as such miscreants." Then he said that it is going to happen, but since you want a pious son, a good offspring, your third son, youngest son, will be very, very virtuous. And in course of time, Ravan was born. Ravan was born as a hideous-looking creature with 10 heads and 20 arms. And because he had 10 heads, his name actually was Dasha Griva. Dasha means 10, and Griva means head, 10-headed. Dashanan or Dasha Griva. And then the second son was Kumbhakarna. And then when they find the third son was Bibhishan. So Bibhishan was virtuous, very pious. And so all three went to perform austerities because they knew the way to get power is through performance of austerities. So Ravan performed austerities for 10,000 years without eating and drinking. Terrible austerity, actually. And not only that, at the end of every 1,000 year, he would cut off one head and offer it to Brahma. So, and when finally on the 10th year, 10,000th year, when he was about to chop off his 10th head, then Brahma came to him and asked him, "What do you want?" So he said, "Make me immortal." So Brahma said that, "I can't make you immortal. Even I am not immortal. At some point, I also have to die. In this world, everybody has to die." So then Ravan told, "Okay, that give me the benediction that I'll have immunity from all the demigods, the Rakshasas, the Daityas, the Danavas, the Nagas, the Kinnaras, Gandharvas, all." But he forgot to ask about human. Not forgot, he thought the human beings are so insignificant, there is no need to ask any kind of immunity from them. So at that time, Brahma actually told that he should be careful about human beings because... So Ravan said, "Yes, I'm not. I don't care about the human beings." And then when Brahma was about to give benediction to Kumbhakarna, so Kumbhakarna already created so much distress, like he had eaten up so many apsaras and so many gandharvas and that the demigods were very afraid that without even getting any benediction he is causing such distress. So when he gets the benediction, then what will happen? So they approached Brahma and said, "Please do something about it." So then Brahma called Saraswati, and as I mentioned yesterday, then Saraswati entered into Kumbhakarna's mouth and just made him say, "I want to sleep. And I let me sleep." But then Kumbhakarna realized what has happened. And Ravan appealed to Brahma that, "Please do something, like... I don't know why he asked such a thing. I mean, this is obviously, he did not ask for such a benediction. For the sake of such a benediction, he performed such great austerities." So then Brahma said, "Okay, he'll sleep for 6 months and then stay awake for one day. After 6 months, he'll stay awake only for one day." And then when it came to Kumbhakarna, I'm sorry, when it came to Bibhishan, Bibhishan just said that, "Please bless me, give me the benediction that I never deviate from the path of Dharma. And I should always remain fixed in the injunctions of the scriptures." So Brahma granted. And after that, Ravan... became extremely powerful and extremely arrogant. And then after Mallavan got to know that Ravan got this benediction from Brahma, so he told him that, "Now go and take away Lanka from Kubera." So Ravan first said, "He's my half-brother, elder brother. How can I fight with him?" But then Mallavan reasoned with him that, "Look, there had been many instances where brothers have fought with each other." And he gave the example of Diti's sons and Aditi's sons, the demigods and demons. Daita and Adityas. Like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha fought with their brother, Indra. And so being inspired by Malavan, Ravan attacked Lanka. He first sent Prohasta, his commander-in-chief, to Kuvera, saying that he wanted to have Lanka and he should either vacate Lanka, leave Lanka, or he should fight. So Kuvera told him that why should we fight? And after all, this place had been given to me by my father, so I have right to stay here. But if Ravan wants, we can share this place. We can live here peacefully together. And so when Prahasta was gone, Kuvera went to his father, Bishrava, and told him what happened. Bishrava said that Ravan already came to him and made this request to him. So Bishrava chastised him. And after being chastised, he became even more arrogant. So he said that leave Lanka and go to Kailash. So upon being instructed by his father, he left Lanka to Ravan and went to Mount Kailash. He was a great devotee. Kuvera was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. So with his associates, he took shelter of Lord Shiva. And then Ravan started to rule over Lanka. And tormenting the people, those who accepted the authority of the Supreme Personality of God. That is where actually the conflict starts. They want to establish themselves as the Supreme, whereas the devotees of the Lord do not want to accept that. And as a result of that, they become their enemy. And they think that by performing yajna, they derive their power, these personalities, the devotees. Therefore, they try to plunder their sacrifices and kill them and eat them up. Then, one day, when he saw Kuvera was flying with the Pushpak chariot, he wanted to have the Pushpak chariot, Ravan. And he approached Kuvera and fought with him. And in this battle, Kuvera was wounded. And then finally, Ravan actually took away the chariot. And so with the chariot, he was flying over the sky. And at that time, all of a sudden, his chariot stopped. And Ravan asked, wondered what happened. And then Lord Shiva's associate Nandi came out and told him that please don't go any further. This is Kailash, the abode of Lord Shiva, and he is sporting here with Parvati, so no one should disturb him. So Ravan was so arrogant, he asked, who is Shiva? Who is Shankar? I will kill him. And so Nandi tried to make him understand Lord Shiva's position, but Ravan became very arrogant and he insulted Nandi. Nandi's mouth, face was like that of a monkey. So he laughed at Nandi. So Nandi cursed him that face that you are laughing at, the creatures with that face is going to defeat you in a battle. I could have killed you, but I wouldn't do that because unnecessarily I don't want to dirty my hand. So So Ravan became so arrogant, he wanted to lift the Mount Kailash. And when he lifted Mount Kailash, when he was trying to lift Mount Kailash, and lifted Mount Kailash, the Kailash, because it shook, Parvati, sitting next to Lord Shiva, lost her balance and she just grabbed Lord Shiva out of fear and losing her balance. So seeing that Lord Shiva understood what happened, with the tip of his toe, he just pressed the mountain. And that mountain crushed Ravan's hands. And Ravan screamed. And his scream was so loud that even Indra stumbled hearing the sound when he was walking down. So, and so Ravan was in great difficulty. So his ministers, knowing Lord Shiva being very quick, one who can be very quickly pleased by glorification, that he started to ask, they asked Ravan to sing Lord Shiva's glory. And so Ravan started to sing Lord Shiva's glory. Ravan, by the way, is a very good musician also. And so, and this way, Ravan, for a long, long time, he kept on singing the glory of Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was finally pleased and released the pressure, and Ravan could free his hands from that situation, being crushed by the mountain. So Lord Shiva, in this way, Ravan became Lord Shiva's devotee. And then when Ravan was flying over the Himalayas, he saw this extremely beautiful girl alone performing austerities. So Ravan immediately approached her and proposed to her. And she very politely told that who she was. She was the daughter of King Kushadhaja, who became a Brahmarshi. And her father wanted her to get married to Vishnu. And that's why she came to the Himalayas to perform austerities to find Vishnu, to get Vishnu as a husband. But Ravan tried to persuade her to go with her, go with him, saying, who is Vishnu? I am the greatest. As I told earlier, that the demons have that tendency, that's their mentality. They think that they are the greatest, they are the supreme enjoyer. And yesterday somebody mentioned, who was that? That Ravan is symbolizing lust. Calm. Oh yeah, Vrindavan Chandra. Ravan actually was extremely lusty. Wherever he would see a beautiful girl, he would just steal her. Not only abduct her, but before doing that he would kill all her relatives and then abduct her. So when Ravan tried to forcibly take her, then she left her body with a curse that she would come again after giving up this body. And she would be the cause of Ravan's death. And then she appeared on a lotus as a little girl, Vedavati. So Ravan took that girl with him. But his ministers could recognize that this little girl is going to be the cause of Ravan's destruction. So they told Ravan, get rid of her. So then Ravan threw her through that on a lotus on the ocean. And eventually this girl appeared in King Janak's sacrificial arena on the tip of his plow. And that is Sita Devi. So, in this way, Agastya described about Ravan's exploits. Another thing he described was in the Ikshaku dynasty, there was an illustrious king called Anaranya. And Ravan was challenging the Kshatriya kings, the demons and the demigods and everywhere. He was traveling over the three worlds, challenging different people. So in a big battle, in a very fierce battle between Ram and Anaranya, eventually Anaranya was mortally injured. And before dying, Anaranya told Ravan that a personality would appear in his dynasty who is going to kill him. So in this way, Ravan received two curses, Sita's curse and Anaranya's curse. Another time when Ravan was in the Kailash, then he saw Rambha going, the celestial damsel, Apsara. And Ravan forcibly molested her. So Rambha then went to her husband, Nalakuver, and narrated the whole story. And so she also cursed him, Ravan. Brahma also cursed Ravan, that if he forcibly takes tries to molest any woman, then his head would split into pieces. So in this way, Ravan's history was described. And at that time, Ramchandra, another personality that Ravan had an encounter with was Bali, Sugriv's brother. And this also I described yesterday. Actually, Ravan, Bali was so powerful that he took Ravan under his arm and went around the universe. Like there are four oceans in four sides: southern side, western side, northern side, and eastern side. So then, after that, Ravan was so impressed, so he asked him who he was, and then he made friendship with him. So this is how Bali and Ravan became friends. So at that point, Lord Ramchandra asked Agastya that Sugriv was Hanuman's friend. When Sugriv was driven away from by his brother, and his wife was taken over by him, now Hanuman, who is even more powerful than Bali, why didn't he reinstate Sugriv? Then Agastya told the story of Hanuman, which also I'll skip because yesterday I narrated that story briefly. The Hanuman's birth and how Indra hurled Vajra and Hanuman died. Then his father Pavan took him to a cave and Pavan withdrew from everything. And when the life air was withdrawn, everyone was suffocating. So then they all approached Brahma. Then Brahma, understanding the reason, he told them that it is Pavan's doing. And so Brahma took them all to where Pavan was with Hanuman. And Brahma revived Hanuman and told the demigods that this monkey is going to benefit you. He came here for your welfare. So you all bless him. So the different demigods blessed Hanuman with different benedictions. And in this way, Hanuman became extremely powerful. Already he was so powerful that with one jump he could actually go to the sun planet just after his birth. And now after getting all these benedictions, we can well imagine how powerful he became. And being so powerful, he used to, as a little child, he used to create disturbance to the sages in the forest. So the sages made a condition that Hanuman would forget about his power until Lord Ramchandra came. So the point is that this power that Hanuman had was actually for assisting Lord Ramchandra. It is often seen with the devotees also that before they become devotees, they do not display their actual qualities. But after they become devotees, then all of a sudden their wonderful qualities become manifest. So in the case of Hanuman, that was very, very significant. And so Hanuman, that's why Agastya told him that Hanuman was not aware of his power. He just considered himself to be an ordinary monkey. But it's only when Jambavan reminded Hanuman who he was and what his power was that he became aware of it. And to assist Lord Ramchandra, he performed all kinds of wonderful feats. So, then one day Ramchandra was sitting with Sita. At that time, Sita was pregnant. And they were in the garden, they were talking, and Ramchandra asked, "What do you want? Is there anything that you want?" Then Sita told that she wanted to see the ashrams of the sages on the bank of Mandakini. And then that after Ramchandra noted that she wanted to see the ashrams of the sages. And so that day or the next day, Ravan called his spies and asked them to tell him how the citizens are feeling. So different spies gave their descriptions. They're all very positive. People are so happy. People are so prosperous. But the sixth spy actually told about that, about a washerman, what he told his wife. He suspected the character of his wife and he told her that, "Do you think that I'm like Ram, that although his wife was captured, although kidnapped by somebody and stayed in his house for so long, and still he accepted her back. I'm not going to accept you." When the spy heard that, he was about to kill that person, pulling out his sword. But he remembered that in his kingdom nobody should be killed. And so he restrained himself. And Ram recorded that incident. And the next day he told Lakshman to take Sita. He decided to banish Sita. Anyway, you all know that incident. I don't want to elaborate that. And personally, I find this part is so painful that I don't even like to recall them or dwell in them. And so Sita was taken by Valmiki Muni in his ashram. And the ladies of the ashram were taking care of Sita Devi. And at that time, some sages came and reported to Ram that a demon is causing a lot of disturbance in Madhuban. So Ram sent Shatrughna to get rid of the demon for the sake of the saintly people, the rishis. So Shatrughna went and he got rid of the demon and he stayed there for 12 years. And then when Shatrughna came, in the meantime Ramchandra was feeling very very distressed due to killing Ravan. So when he was lamenting in this way about his sinful act of killing a brahmana, Ravan was actually a brahmana, son of a brahmana. So then Vasishtha suggested that he performed a horse sacrifice. So the arrangement was made to perform the horse sacrifice. At an auspicious moment, the challenge horse is sent out. And so the horse went all over. Some kings surrendered to Ram and allowed the horse to go through their region without any obstacle. But some kings objected or obstructed the horse. And as I mentioned, mostly it was due to get the darshan of Ramchandra. When Shatrughna, the party consisted of mainly, Shatrughna was leading, assisted by Pushkal, the son of Bharat, and Hanuman. And Sugriv also was there. So finally, the horse came to Valmiki's ashram. At that time, in the meantime, Sita Devi gave birth to a twin. And Valmiki got them sanctified with kusha grass. The elder son, with the tip of the kusha grass, he brushed his body. And that's why his name was Kusha. The elder son was known as Kusha. And the younger son was brushed with by the bottom of the kusha grass. That's why his name was Lava. So Kushi and Lava were the two brothers, two sons of Ram. So Lava was with the sages in the forest of Valmiki Ashram. And he saw the horse. So he was quite impressed to see the horse. And then he saw on the head of the horse, on a golden plaque, it was written that this horse belongs to Ram, Lord Ramchandra, for the sacrifice of Ashwamedh Yajna. And it is guarded by Shatrughna. So those who accept the authority of Ram, they would let the horse pass. Otherwise, Shatrughna will deal with them. And seeing that Lava became quite excited, so he held the horse. And he tied him up on a tree. So searching for the horse, then when the party came and they found that Love has taken the horse in captivity. So they first appeal to him to release the horse. But love would not listen. So a big fight actually ensued between love and Ram's army, headed by Shatrughna. And in the battle, Shatrughna was undead, Hanuman was undead, Sugriva was undead, Pushkal was undead. But finally, when they came back, they regained their consciousness, and then in the later onslaught, love was defeated. And when love was defeated and unconscious, he was brought back to Valmiki's ashram. At that time, Kusha came back from a pilgrimage. And when Kusha saw Love's condition, he became furious. So he went to fight against Shatrughna. And he defeated Shatrughna and Ram's army. And he tied up Hanuman and Sugriv together. And he brought Hanuman and Sugriv tied up together to the ashram of Valmiki. And both of them were unconscious. So seeing Sita recognized Hanuman and Sugriv. So Sita said, "What happened?" And he told what actually happened about the horse, and this horse was sent by someone called Ram. So Sita told him that is your father. And this is the monkeys, Hanuman and Sugriv. Just release them. And in this way, Hanuman came across Sita again, and he worshipped her, and so did Sugriv. And the report, message went back. And they already noticed, Shatrughna noticed, that this boy, when he saw love, he looks exactly like Ram when Ram was young. And so finally they got to Valmiki, told them that who they were. And so Ram then sent his envoy to take Sita along with Love and Kush. So then they came back, brought back to Ayodhya. And Valmiki also came with them. So Ram again expressed his doubt or concern that what people may think about Sita, because she was in the house of Ravan for so long. So he proposed another fire test. So this time Sita could not tolerate that. So Sita prayed to Bhumi, Mother Earth, to take her back. So then Earth split, and Mother Earth personified came out and took Sita back to her. And after that, Ram, in this way, Ram ruled for 11,000 years. And then once, time personified appeared on the request of Lord Brahma. Brahma told time personified to come and tell Ram that the purpose has been served. So on his request he came, and now he can go back to Vaikuntha. So time personified came to Ram and told him that I have something very confidential to discuss with you. And when I'm talking to you, nobody should come in the room. And if he came, then you have to banish him forever. So Ram agreed, and Ram told Lakshman, get rid of the guard and you guard the door. So Lakshman was standing guard. And the time personified Kal Purush told Ram about Brahma's, conveyed Brahma's message to him that now that the purpose of your coming has been served, so now you can go back to your abode. So when they were discussing, Durvasa Muni came there, who was known for his anger and curse. So when he came, he told Lakshman that he wanted to see Ram. So Lakshman told him that Ram is having a discussion with somebody and I have been told to stand guard and no one should come. So Durvasa became very angry. He said, go and tell him. Otherwise I'll curse that Ram and everyone will die. So Lakshman thought that better I take the curse than everybody, Ram and others take the curse. So he went inside and told Ram. And Ram told him, why did you come? And he told him that Durvasa was so upset. So then Ram had to banish Lakshman from Ayodhya. Lakshman left Ayodhya and he went to the forest, which means actually he went back to Vaikuntha. And then after that, Ramchandra also decided to leave this material nature. So he gave the response, he divided his kingdom and gave the northern part of his king Kaushal to Kusha and the southern part to Lava. And he walked away from his kingdom. When he was walking, all the citizens also following him. And eventually Ram entered into the river Saraju. And in this way Ram entered into the spiritual sky. And it has been said that those who are following Ram also went to the spiritual sky with him. In this way we have to understand that Ramchandra came with his associates from the spiritual sky and after performing his pastimes, he went back to the spiritual sky. Shri Ramchandra ki, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Chandra ki.